Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, Michael Ferland signed a four-year deal, $14 million with the Canucks yesterday. That's an annual average value of $3.5 million. Ferland had 40 points, 71 games last season with the Hurricanes, had one assist in seven Stanley Cup playoff games. Some big news locally, Eden native Alex Iafallo signed a two-year, $4.85, so let's call it $5 million contract with the Kings. It's about $2.425 for an annual average value. He had 33 points in 82 games last season. It was his second year in the league. 58 points in 157 games. One goal in three Stanley Cup playoff games. Forward Matt Cullen, we just talked about him, announced his retirement yesterday at the tender age of 42. 21 seasons Cullen played. Finished his career with 266 goals, 465 assists, 731 points, 1,516 regular season games, and he played 132 playoff games where he had 58 points. Played for eight different teams: the Ducks, the Panthers, the Canes, the Rangers, the Senators, the Wild, the Predators, and the Penguins. He won the Stanley Cup three times, the first with the Hurricanes, still stings, in 06, and the second two with the Penguins in 16 and 17, where he played a crucial role. Over to the NFL, the Buccaneers cornerback Ryan Smith has been suspended without pay for the initial four games of the 2019 season for violation of the league's policy on performance-enhancing substances. Entering his fourth season with the Bucs, Smith has played 31 games, 16 starts, 99 tackles, one interception over the last two seasons. And into the NBA, the Clippers announced yesterday that they have signed Kawhi Leonard without releasing contract details. However, it was reported that Leonard has chosen a shorter contract with LA, signing a three-year, $103 million. No big deal. That's your sports update for today. Back over to the Instigators, where I've had the pleasure to work with Brian Duff the last few days, and I feel like tomorrow might
lie.
Be...
an. Come on.
I've learned a lot from you, Duffer. Today's National Day. You know what today is? National 7-Eleven Day.
Oh, I didn't know.
So it's Marty Biron's pads open all day. Five hole, get it? Just joking, Marty. I love you, buddy. It's National Mojito Day. Mojito Day. When I drank, I loved mojitos, man.
Did you?
Oh, my goodness. National Cheer Up the Lonely Day. You're doing that for me right now? Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Hey,
oh, you're
thanks,
very welcome.
Buddy.
And National Blueberry Muffin Day.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
My little guy, actually.
I should probably go. He got a blueberry muffin today. To indulge. Okay, well, if you're saying, with any degree of sincerity, that you learned something from me the
yes,
last
would you like
couple
to know
days...
What it is?
No, no. Allow me to flip the script.
Uh-oh.
Oh. And I was sitting here going, really? When you were just reading about Matt Cullen, I completely what? Forgot.
That he played for the Senators.
The Senators.
Yes.
And he had 8 points in six playoff games that year. They lost to Pittsburgh in the first round. He played 21 games down the stretch, was a deadline acquisition from Carolina. Completely. Now, you know why I forgot about it?
I don't.
Probably because I was pretty sour that Buffalo was getting ousted by Boston
after winning
the division title, and
that's...
Thomas Vanek was getting railroaded by Johnny Boychuk.
That's right. That was a weird year for the playoffs.
Right.
The first team was Washington, lost to Montreal. We were second in the conference in New Jersey, where we lost to Philly, who went on to lose in the finals. Mm-hmm. And then Buffalo, who was the third team, the third division winner in the standings, you guys lose to Boston in that first round. I think the best player for the Sabres in that series, I think he played one game, was Cody McCormick.
He might have played a couple, but yeah. No, I remember. Early on, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was a weird year, crazy year. And that ended up being the start of the Hawks dynasty, you know, with a completely unexpected Stanley Cup final goaltending matchup of Antti Niemi and Michael Layton. It was unbelievable. I was working NHL Network at the time. Was so fortunate to be there, you know, witnessing it. And it was incredible. And then, of course, as the series went on, not that they hadn't been prior, and not to open up an old wound, but the most electric Flyers to watch were Hartnell, Leno, and Briere. It was amazing. And, you know, they
really put Leno under a spotlight, huh? It's amazing. He did with that line.
He was terrific. Everything fit, right? Danny was driving the bus. Danny was the best player in the Stanley Cup playoffs that year, bar none. And Philadelphia just couldn't win in the end. So that might go down as something easily overlooked. But there's no question Danny Briere was the best player in the playoffs that year. And it's also why when free agency ultimately came around for Ville Leino, I had him as a guy that I wanted Buffalo to sign. Did I want him at that term? No. But what often happens on free agency day? Overpayment, right? But I still thought in the right situation, Ville Leino would have been fine here, and it, you know, whatever.
Well, the right situation for Ville Leino is that when you sign a guy like that, he's not your key piece to the line. Like that's you go and look at you watch Ville Leino. He is one of the most skilled players, unbelievable skater.
But think of who he was with: Briere and Hartnell. What do they do?
Work.
Oh my goodness, right? So
Danny doesn't stop moving. I mean, Danny is as shifty as they come. He does not stop moving. He's in both ends of the ice. Hartnell was a bull. He's a bull in a china shop. I mean, Hartnell might have been the guy on that line who probably was benefiting the most, and Leino was playing off of that.
Yeah.
He had that unbelievable year. The next year, he had 19 goals.
Anyway, how about Matt Cullen now providing us with two?
And you know what? And the sports update. And you know what? And Kelly, thank you for putting this in there because it's news that I actually had intended on mentioning in the first hour.
Yeah.
We talk about local players all the time, and we want to see young up-and-coming players doing very, very well. And I just mentioned in the sports update that Eden native Alex Iafallo, who attended Sabres camp, by the way, and I will remember back in the day, it was back when we were Hockey Hotline, and I'm sitting up in the press box with Kevin Sylvester, and here's this kid absolutely flying around the ice. Yep. And I'm just thinking to myself, who is this kid? Where did he come from? Oh, he's a local kid they invited. He was going to where? New Hampshire? Was he going to like New Hampshire or Connecticut or something? Vermont?
Alex, he went to Minnesota Duluth.
He went to Minnesota. All right. I'm thinking of a different kid of where he went to school. But either way, undrafted, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was undrafted. Came undrafted. In as an invite.
Yep.
He went back, and I think he had Hobie Baker-type seasons.
Sure. Well, his last one, yes. 21 goals, 51 points in 42 games. So, I don't know this off the top of my head.
I'm
going to guess
right
he
now.
Was a top 10 finalist, but I'm not sure. So.
But anyway, it's great news. He signs a 2-year deal. He's out in L.A., and sometimes that's what it takes. You have to end up in the right spot. But this story is what kids need, like locally. Mm-hmm. Everyone is gunning. I've coached minor hockey. I'm around it. Mm-hmm. They're gunning for the draft, and they think that's, you know, you have to get drafted, or it's not the case. You stay the course, you stay confident, you keep working hard, and you can be Alex Iafallo. Now, granted, you might not be blessed with his speed, okay? That might just be, you know, a natural ability that you can't teach, but you can work as hard and do all the other things that he did to get noticed to be in this situation. So a good situation helps. And here on the show, you know, we talk about, you know, young players locally that are up and coming, and he's one of them.
Yeah, and you ran into another.
I did run into another last night, and I was telling you about him, and he looks great. He looks in amazing shape, and I made a point of saying that to him. It's Dennis Gilbert Jr. with the Hawks. You know, he, big defenseman, went to Notre Dame, and I saw him last night. Just a polite kid, you know, just came over and shook my hand. He's like, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
I told him I'd love to have him on the show sometime and talk about his experience in pro and things like that, but just looks like a freak in nature, but he works out with these guys. Like he worked, there's a few guys working out together, and he works out with Iafallo. I asked him, I said, "Who are you training with?" And he was telling me they push him hard, they have a lot of fun, but the work is grueling, and you know, but it's rewarding at the end of the day, and that's that's what it's got to be, right? And so these kids have the right attitude.
And the Hawks have obviously had some higher profile defense picks in recent years, but there's obviously also reason for them to, you know, continue to believe in a guy like Dennis, and you know that's why you make moves like they made earlier this week, right? Like if they believe in the depth that they have in their organization, you can make moves like getting rid of a Yoki Haru, who is, you know, by in the eyes of many, a bona fide prospect, if not, you know, future consistent NHLer. So, so
and
good
I think
luck to Dennis
too. I think Dennis is too. I mean, maybe not for the same type of role that
Yoki
Haru
would
have. Well,
no, that's exactly it, yeah. Right, yeah, 100%.
But that's
so that's not at all surprising that you're running into these guys at this time, that there are stories at this time, and where were we yesterday? We were at the 11-day power play, which continues through the weekend, through Monday, correct? It ends Monday.
Yep.
And what was the last thing we talked about at the end of yesterday's show? Where was the dollar figure? Well, the update is out on social media. They're up over $1.5 million now, so keep it going. I know Amy was, you know, almost cautiously optimistic, I think, that they could get to 1.6. There's no reason they can't get to 1.6. There's time. There's a lot of people playing their hearts out the next 5 days, and there's still ample opportunity for everyone out there to donate to a player, to a team, to the cause. So here's hoping that that number just continues to rise and exceeds, you know, what many were expecting when it all started a couple of years ago.
I appreciate Dan Lombardo right now because I was thinking about Eichel's development year, and it was Podorowski who went to University of New Hampshire.
Yeah, and he just signed
here.
Out. Where did he sign?
Andrew
out?
Podorowski, right? He was also. Yeah. You know that
well,
he
where
played.
Where did he go? The Ducks. He just signed.
He just
out
signed.
West.
I think it was. I think it was. No, was it Arizona? Or was it the Ducks? Did he not? It was the Ducks. You're right. He played in the Porter Cup. Mm-hmm. Last year, I think, or 2 years ago.
Is that right, huh?
Phenomenal golfer, too, yeah. How about that one?
Yeah. Not an easy tournament.
Holy Sabres cow. Fan 56. No, I wasn't known for scoring. He's going back to that story I was told, I think, that I told about my brother and I in Cincinnati.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I think
yeah,
he thinks
yeah.
He's like, he said, you were known for scoring? I said, no. I wasn't. That's not what I said. I must have stuttered my words. And UConn tweets to me, don't forget Miro Shatan in that Boston series against Buffalo.
You don't think I purposely chose not to mention him? That, trust me, there were a lot of things I didn't want to mention about that series. And, okay, if we're going to pile on, Rask was better than Miller. And that was Miller's year, right?
He was a Vezina Trophy winner.
Yeah. Olympics, all the rest, yep. Right? Like, there was so much talk. And that, like, that year was just...
Did you think that year they had... You know what's amazing? I was thinking about this year the other day.
Yeah.
And I didn't... When we drew Philly in the first round of that series because the Rangers-Philly had that shootout...
Was that that year?
That was that year.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm sitting... I was watching that game in...
We ended
up right,
going
it was
Boston
the same day that Buffalo was in New Jersey.
Oh, sorry, you were in Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was in Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the last game of the season.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Pat Laleem tripped on an empty net. They pulled him. He tripped on his way to the bench. I remember that. So anyway, I thought it was – I can't believe I remember that, but that's the one I'm like, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, it would have made Don Cherry's bloopers for sure in Rock and Sock'em Hockey. But so that was the year that the Rangers had the shootout.
Yeah.
And with
Philly.
And Briere scores, and we beat you guys to finish second in the division.
Oh, my gosh.
So we drew Philly. You guys drew Boston. And Philly, I think, was, in my opinion, with the way they had been playing up until that point, that was the team maybe to beat. And we ended up – because we had a tough time with them that year.
Wow.
We had a really tough – and we were, in my opinion, we were the best team in the East. Because I know Washington had a crazy...
Well, you were. I mean, you had 103 points.
Well,
Washington 121.
Yeah, but they had an awful division. Atlanta, Florida, Tampa was decent.
Tampa had 80 points that year. Carolina had 80.
Yeah, okay, Carolina was in there. So
it was a cluster. There were four teams separated by 6 points. Florida at 77, Atlanta at 83. But yeah, Washington ran away with it. It was a different world then.
So do you think Buffalo...
So here's my story. Because what you're saying was, you know, did you think they had a chance that year?
Because I thought it was wide open.
And one games never are an indicator of anything other than, you know, you take your chance and see how it goes. What was interesting about that year was, and I've told my you know, now 14-year-old daughter this a million times. She was five at the time. We were season ticket holders to the Sabres and living, you know, east of Toronto. So I didn't get to many games working nights at NHL Network, but I purposely, because of the schedule that week, took Izzy out of school for a few days. I mean, she's in kindergarten or whatever, right? Came down to Buffalo, spent a few days because within a three-day window, the Sabres were playing Washington and Chicago on the homestand. The Sabres won both those games that week. Ryan was terrific and, you know, the low-scoring tight games. Washington would win the President's Trophy that year. The Hawks would win the Stanley Cup. It was a great week to just see, you know, what the Sabres were made of at that time. You didn't know. You had an idea Washington was going to win the President's Trophy because they were flying. But, you know, obviously Chicago ended up having a terrific regular season and playoffs too. But, yeah, I think a lot of people believed that the Sabres, you know, had removed themselves finally from the Briere and Drury turn of events.
Yeah,
they were back. They had Ryan Miller as the face. And as you
said, Tyler Myers, rookie of the year.
They went on to, they won the division that year. Sure, anything could have happened. I think certainly most were expecting them to beat Boston, but Boston, as it turns out, at that point in time, was only 1 year away from themselves.
I've never rooted harder against a team or for a team to lose in my life than I did for. I was a huge Bruins fan. Because I left. I didn't want to leave. I mean, I wasn't overly happy here, but I, like, with what I was doing,
yeah.
But I think I'd come to the conclusion that that's all I was ever going to be. And, you know, so I didn't really want to leave. I guess I was thinking to myself, well, this is what I am. I guess I'd rather stay here and do it. And there might have been some small talks to stay, but I ended up going and you know, just I wanted to experience maybe playing somewhere else and seeing what that was like. And then when the Sabres and the Devils were 2-3 in the standings, I'm like thinking to myself, what if we end up meeting in the playoffs? Like, I mean, I'm not even speaking like from me playing for that standpoint. I'm just saying like just from emotionally, you know, how brutal that would be if we lost to them. But but not only that, as we were going down 4-1 to the Flyers, what was the score of the Sabre series? Was it wasn't seven games.
No,
was
six.
Six games.
Yeah.
Philly was the next year. It was seven, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was – so I just – I remember I was – I just – and Craig and I have had these conversations, and I remember when he was traded to Buffalo, and yep. San Jose was an absolute powerhouse. I asked him, I said, "How will you feel if San Jose wins the cup?" And he told me, "I'll puke. I'll be." That's exactly what he said. Those are the words he used. Yeah. I thought it was going to be more explicit than that. I thought you know we were going to need to you know expletive type thing, but it wasn't. It was just that's all he said. It was simple, and it's nodding. I don't really know how to explain it, but I thought the Sabres did have a chance, and that's why I asked you that question.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, we're out, and I'm going back to Buffalo, and they're going to be rolling through the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much I believe they had a chance in the big picture. I think they could have gone further than they did. But as you quickly pointed out, I mean, the memory that should last with people is the fact that the President's Trophy winners went out in the first round because of Yara Halak and the Montreal Canadiens, right? So as that was unfolding, I'm sure Buffalo – you know, again, it ended for Buffalo before that series with Washington and Montreal ended. So, you know, I don't know if people had time to get excited looking around and what might have been happening because they were locked in. They hadn't been in the playoffs. So it was, you know, it was return to the playoffs and it would have been tense times here for sure. And obviously anybody that remembers the series remembers the turning point, and that was game four, double overtime. And that's your Chatan reference, right? So, but
did he do any celebration after that? I don't. Was that home? Where was that? Boston or Buffalo?
Yeah, the loss was at the Garden. The overtime. Buffalo came back and won the next game, but you're still down 3-2, and then lost at the Garden in game six. So,
but I have to imagine, knowing Miro and knowing how he left in his relationship with Lindy and Darcy, that was probably a great moment for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're showing it right now, not you know versus. Versus.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, and this is a good reminder as I'm just reading a recap, the
the Sabres blew a two-goal lead in Game 4 before losing in double overtime. Now, I also want to say they blew a two-goal lead in Game 2 of that series. Let me just double-check here. Yeah, the Sabres were up 2-0 in Game 2 on goals by Myers and Ellis before Ryder and Chara scored to offset it. The reason that's a story, I would have to do some digging on this. I am almost 100% certain the Sabres went through the entire season never blowing a two-goal lead and then did it twice within the first four games of that series to put them in that terrible hole.
I'm watching the goal right here. We're showing it on MSG. Miro and slides it through the stilts of Tyler Myers.
Yeah,
he has a silky backhand, Miro. That guy was ridiculously skilled, which is why he's in the IIHF Hall of Fame. We are going to get back to the poll, which involves Risto, but this conversation started with Iafallo to Dennis Gilbert. And that's what happens when you talk hockey. You never know where it can go.
And by the way, what's going on there right now? Academy of Hockey goaltending clinic. Marty's there, and Marty's here tomorrow, right?
Is Marty here tomorrow?
He's not?
Well, he's got to mold some of these young prospects.
Now it makes even more sense for me to have delayed the whiteboard till tomorrow because Marty's not even here. So that means
no one's going to argue it.
It's a bigger stage, right?
I mean,
without Marty here, it's
there's a lot more air in the room.
A little bit more, yeah.
You know, there's a lot more air in the room. But Johnny Vogel's going to come in tomorrow.
I know.
He has been literally the
He's the rumor mill.
He's given us a lot of content. I said to him last night, I saw him down the 11
day. He's been really creative, I should say, in the angles of how to approach similar topics, shall we say. Like, how do you look at this today? And it's all you can do because there are people still on the roster, and you wonder how long are all these guys going to be on the roster. So it's good. I like it.
All right. Well, it all started with Risto this morning, and we'll get back to that with our poll. We're going to do our buy-sell trade. Most improved team in the offseason, Avalanche Cup finalists. Blackhawks are the biggest wild card. Here's a conversation we'll have tomorrow, too.
Mm-hmm.
Who might fall out of the standings playoffs? If all these teams are getting better, who falls back? Talk about that, too, maybe today or tomorrow. But coming up next, more on the John Vogel poll. Which player would you want? It was Ehlers, Laine, Kyle Connor, or Anthony Cirelli. And I think we have to focus on Anthony Cirelli because we focused a lot on the big three from Winnipeg. We'll be right back. Andrew Peters, Brian Duff, WGR 550 and MSG on the Instigators.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Revay.
Brian Duff riding shotgun in the Instigator studio here today, probably tomorrow and Monday. We're going to be at Danny Gare's golf tournament. Are you playing?
I am playing.
Yeah, I'm playing.
Yeah.
I'm going to whip around there for a few holes.
You know what I'm going to be using? Encore golf balls, too.
Yeah, is that your thing now?
It is my thing. Yeah. And you know what? Like, it's funny. I don't play enough to even probably warrant having this strong an opinion. But as someone who tends to have the ball move usually left to right, like significantly over the course of my playing career, I have never, ever played a ball that hits straighter than that.
Well, I'll say this. I used them the other day, and they do go straight. But unfortunately, mine, here's the cliche joke, straight in the water and straight in the woods. But they do go straight. Just spitball and pull.
Mm-hmm.
If the Sabres could work out a package deal involving Rasmus Ristolainen, which return would you prefer? We talked about this. The poll's up. He's at Buffalo Vogel, and he'll be on the show with us tomorrow at 11 o'clock. But the options were Nikolai Ehlers, Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor, Anthony Cirelli. And if the guys in the back want to throw the poll results up as they are. So 19% say Ehler, 47% say Laine, 24% Connor, and 10% Anthony Cirelli. Now, Anthony Cirelli, only 10% of the votes. But do you feel like he could be a guy that may be more deserving of more?
Here's the thing. What is different about Anthony Cirelli than the three listed above him? Center.
Centerman. I was just going to say
what center. Does this team still need?
Center.
And what has been the track record for players of Cirelli's draft pedigree or lack thereof within the Tampa organization? Do they tend to progress at a pretty substantial rate with more games played at the NHL level? They tend to do that. Braden Point might be an example of that. Nikita Kucherov might be an example of that. I'm not here to tell you that Cirelli is going to be either of those two, but I do love the way he has trended, including 39 points in a more than secondary, way beyond secondary role with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, is he going to surpass those other guys at some point as far as annual production? I don't know. You're talking about guys that score 30? He's already at 19 in his first full NHL season. I'd say he's trending in the right direction.
Yeah, and I'm looking here. He was playing with, right now, I mean, I know there's no hockey right now, but the last line they have him down here on is Anthony Cirelli was with Alex Killorn and Matthew Joseph. He's playing in the middle. I mean,
Syracuse has been very good, as you know, at the AHL level.
Their
development model has been terrific.
But being good allows teams to do that.
Yes, it does.
Pittsburgh does 100%. That. A lot of other.
But that's what makes this more interesting, right? Like, how much do you value Cirelli because of where he is? Do you believe that if you take him out of that, he can continue on the progression? And do you feel you have to address the center with another young center when you already have Mittelstadt and potentially Cousins coming? Like, do you want to overload? You know, like, I don't know. I think it's very valid. I think more people should not be fixated on points. I think they should really think this through, because you and I, without thinking it through, when I forced you to just make a snap judgment, we both said Kyle Connor. And I think there's more to it. I think it's a terrific poll put out by Vogel.
We do have a call on the line. Caller, are you on the line?
What's up, ladies?
Hey, buddy, how's it going up there in Nord Bay, eh?
Oh, my God. Just got out of the gym right now. Worked on bench and buys. It's summertime.
Oh, bench and buys, bench and eh, buys. Riv? You're gonna get all the way to the top of the show doing bench and buys.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man?
Not much. Very hot up here. Very hot. Went fishing last night, caught two bass, no big deal. And other than that, just relaxing. It's been nice to see the family.
Okay, hold on a sec. I mean, I could say I scored two goals in a game, no big deal, but if they were shots that I wasn't looking at and they went off my foot, like, I'm not necessarily skilled. Are you reeling in some big bass? Are you wheeling in, you know, some little guys? I mean, like, what do you mean, no big deal, Riv? I mean, because anyone can go fishing, catch five minnows, and say I had a great day.
No, both bass were about a pound and a half.
Oh, wow.
Not real big, but...
Don't snap the reel. You know, don't snap the reel there, Riv. Did the boat almost tip over with that guy? Hey?
Easy.
How long did it take to reel that thing in?
Well, actually, I snagged one of them in the belly. I don't know how I did it, but you know what? They don't ask how. They just ask how many.
That's right. And according to this story, I had two goals, and they were both off my feet. I sent you a text, I think it was yesterday. Was it yesterday we were done? About the Yokoharu, and I said, what if you start the new kid on forward? I kind of did a Craig Revay, and I put together some D combinations. And what'd you think of them? I had Darlene with Montour, I had McCabe and Risto, I had Scandella and Miller. And I mean, you can mix any one of those up. Maybe you do Scandella and Risto, but I said start the new kid in Roch.
Why?
You tell me why not.
Why would you start him in Roch? You know, I think that he's more than capable of playing right now in the National Hockey League. And, you know, we're going to sit here and debate this. I said, well, you know, you sent me that. But you know what? I mean, we've got 11 defense right now, and we're not even including Will Borgen in this mix. We've got 11 guys that are very capable of playing in the National Hockey League. What I wrote back to you the other day, everybody knows, I've been on this show for I don't know how long talking about Risto and how I do not want to trade Risto. That being said, Jason Botterill continues to make these trades and bring in more defense. There's going to be a competitive nature at training camp this year where you're going to have to earn your position and earn your spot. I still believe that we need a lot of help on the forward line, and the only way of doing that and making an impact would be to trade probably your biggest asset, and that's Risto. You're trading an asset, and that's Risto. You know, the new defenseman we just picked up is a right-handed shot. Miller's a right-handed shot. Bogosian's a right-handed shot. Montour's a right-handed shot. We now can afford, if the right deal comes along, to move Risto. I'm not saying I want to, but I'm saying if there is a deal that will make our hockey team better, then do it. Because we have a overabundance of NHL defensemen right now on our team.
So then answer me this. Our buddy John Vogel did a poll. He said, if you traded Risto, what would you want to see in return?
Kyle Connor. 100% I would take Kyle Connor.
Well, he's only getting 24% of the votes there, big boy.
Well, that's because everybody's sitting there looking at production. And they're looking at Patrick Laine in his first year scored 44 goals, and the next year he scored 36. And last year he had a really crappy season, still scored 30. The high ceiling for Patrick Laine is going to be a 50-goal scorer every year. The reality is Patrick Laine is a completely one-dimensional hockey player, where Kyle Connor is, he's a playmaker, he's a forechecker, he's a backchecker, he's going to put up 75 points a year, he's going to score 30, 35 goals every single year, but he's going to give you much more to your team than Patrick Laine.
Okay, so they're not getting rid of him then.
Well, right now, I think, you know, they don't want to get rid of either one of those guys. I mean, Kyle Connor and Patrick.
Well, the reality is, as you would say, they have to. They might have to with the cap space because, well, they have $22 million, almost $29 million. But remember, they have Laine, Kopp, and Connor. Andrew Kopp's not getting enough love. I'm not going to say he's going to get a huge payday, but there's some money there.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Pionk, I mean, if you want to, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you traded for him.
He's an RFA as well. He had 26 points. I mean, they might have to get rid of some guys.
Well, they've already done that. They already got rid of Trouba, which was going to be a huge contract. They didn't re-sign Tyler Myers.
Mm-hmm.
That's an $11 million, $12 million right there that they had on their cap last year.
Right.
They have the money to go and sign Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine. Patrick Laine is probably going to be in between, you know, $9 million and $11 million. I hate to say it.
Well, why wouldn't Connor be close to that?
Why couldn't they sign him for what Aho got? That's a fair deal for Laine, isn't it?
Very, very much so. Very much so. But the reality is,
they didn't sign him for that. Montreal did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unless somebody offers sheets here, like, I don't see these guys giving in on a deal lower than nine. I don't. So,
absolutely.
So now, if you, let's say you hypothetically keep both, you give them both nine, you're at 18 for two guys. They have $22 million worth of space. You sign the two guys, they've only got 17 guys on the roster, and they've got to round it out with very limited space. So they're not out of the woods yet. They've got to move some bodies off of it. That's why names like Matthew Perreault keep coming up.
Another player that was on the list, though, Riv, on the poll, I don't know if you saw the poll, but Anthony Cirelli from Tampa Bay. We've always heard the Tampa Bay Risto connection.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. Tampa Bay, that's probably one of the last guys on that roster that Julien Brisebois is going to be looking to get rid of. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is he's under a contract.
Exactly.
That, what's he making, $900,000?
$728,000.
He's in the final year of his entry-level deal. You're right. Like, Tampa's not taking on money here. So, A, they probably don't want Risto because it's money. And, B, if they're making a deal, they're getting rid of money. And that means Palat, Johnson, Killorn, someone in that
take your pick there.
Is that not the most obvious way of looking at this? I don't know.
I think you're right.
Absolutely.
But those guys all have clauses, right? They all have limitations. Yeah. So, I don't know. I struggle seeing Tampa as a fit. I really think it's, and nothing for nothing, if you are making a move like this, always better to throw somebody in the Western Conference, right?
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, because I haven't asked you. Number one, O'Reilly didn't put his tooth in it. Actually, he took it out. And I did an impression of you. I know you were in the gym pumping iron, getting all buff. But I said...
Benches and tries.
I always thought it was chest and back day. I didn't think he did chest and tries in the same day. But, I mean, that's the North Bay way. Listen, so O'Reilly takes his tooth out. So I said you would have said, put your tooth in.
Takes his tooth out for what?
For the ESPYs. He went to the ESPYs. They won comeback team of the year, rightfully so. He pops his tooth out as he gets up there to say his... I think he did that because of you, Riv.
Sure, whatever. It's ridiculous.
What's ridiculous?
Probably this line of conversation.
Having his tooth out, that's what's ridiculous. Guy makes $7.5 million a year. Go get permanent teeth, bud.
All right. What else can we ask you? What else is going on up there? Nylander's gone. Are you happy about that?
See ya. I had him traded away 4 months ago. Good on Jason Botchell. Awesome. And you know what? I mean, from what I read, and I don't know much about this defenseman we got from Chicago, but I'll tell you this. When you start to read stuff on Twitter, you start to read articles, you start to understand and listen to the people that were Chicago fans that have seen this kid play, that know what he's done in the organization and know what future the kid has. There's a lot of Chicago people that are not happy at all that this trade was made.
Yeah, you want to hear?
They see this young defenseman as a really, really good player moving forward.
You want to hear Chris Baker's scouting report? I know you message him sometimes when you need info about players, but I got some here for you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Not very big, but very mobile. Good gaps, good stick pressure, just a responsible 5-on-5 defenseman. Decent, not elite speed, but he can play fast, gets in on the attack and supports, skates the puck with a lot of confidence, makes good clean passes. Walks the line, gets simple shots through, creates rebounds. He's not flashy.
So you just named basically most of the D in the NHL and what we're going to see in years to come. Not overly big, not only overly aggressive, not the fastest guy in the world, but he's extremely intelligent, makes a first pass, is able to get up the ice. He's not going to go and demolish guys with his body checks, but he's positionally sound. He's very good with a stick. You just named all the kids that are up and coming in the game today.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited about what this kid has to offer moving forward, because he's just a kid. And this is why we're talking about Risto. If we need, I love what I see in our defense moving forward. I love what I see in what we have right now. We're in a situation where, you know, Jimmy Vesey, great. You know, we picked up Jimmy Vesey. He's in a contract year. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent the year after. You know that Jimmy Vesey is going to be coming into this year extremely hungry. He's got nice size at 6'3", 200 pounds. So we're adding a little bit bigger, a little bit harder to play against. It's a good pickup. But I still believe that we're not where we need to be in our top six. I don't believe that we're there yet. We need some one more player that is dynamic, that is offensive, that you know day in and day out, game in, game out, that you're going to get production. Right now, I don't think that we're where we need to be in that top six.
4 years. We got to get out of here for break. And so I you know that we're under the gun here pressure-wise for time. Furland, 4 years, $14 million.
For me, that's extremely tough to take because I would take him all day long at $3.5 million for a 4-year deal to put him on the third line with a middle stat and Tage Thompson.
That fourth year scared me.
Petey.
Yeah, he's had some injury history.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, okay, fair.
What are you talking about? He's had an injury history. He hasn't had any injury history.
I think he missed some time in the playoffs. River, JJ's in my ear, so you know exactly the struggle I'm going through here. I want to talk to you, but I got to go. How do we pay you? How do we pay you money to do nothing if we don't go to break? See what I'm saying? Enjoy the doc, man.
All right. Later, boys.
See you, buddy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Duffer's already all packed up, ready to go home. One Bills Live coming up next, so stick around for that. Time now for our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. We got 30 seconds. Buy, sell, trade Craig's fishing story.
I'm buying. I'm reeled in. I've not heard him that excited. You can only get that excited if you're telling the truth about a huge haul from last night. Or was it this morning? I can't
even remember. Who cares? He didn't catch two fish. If they did, they were tiny. It was great to hear from the big guy. We'll get him more over the summer. We're back tomorrow, 10 to noon. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.